right, folks, it's that time again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, and I'd like to welcome you back to another wonderful Hump Day show, as every other show that I've done has been, on Wednesday. If my memory would serve me correctly, we have Greg Hammerhead Crisp on the line. Greg, is that you?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I had you on mute for a second.
So, what's going on, Greg?
Not much. A little wet up here. Lots of rain. So hopefully it stops for this weekend. But it's been raining nonstop for like 4 or 5 days now.
Damn.
Yeah. So.
You guys had all that rain before Irene, and then now you guys can't get rid of the rain. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, it's hate to think what the people are going through in Vermont right now.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, even everything down around where I'm at is pretty swollen at this point. So.
Damn,
it's fall. It's time for the rain to get here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But, all right, folks, we got a pretty good show tonight, in my eyes. I'm going to talk about my fishing excursions this weekend, or excursions. Greg, did you get this weekend at all?
Yeah, I got to go out. Went up to Lake George again this weekend, and it was pretty windy. The whole weekend it was at least 10 knot winds, and did manage to get out for about 3 hours and catch a handful of good largemouth. But
good,
you know, it was rough conditions, but at least got out there and got fishing and got one nice 16 inch. That was my big one for the weekend, so
cool.
Was happy.
Oh yeah, that's just, you know, you got out and caught fish. You know, can't ask for more than that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So let's get right to it. And folks, as always, you can always call in. The phone number is 714-816-4727. And call in or come to the chat room at kayakfishingradio.com. Shows, if you listen to a podcast, break down everyone's shows. We have Redfish Chuck on at Mondays at 8 with the Kayak Fishing Radio Monday show. Then we have a Bad Badcast Live. That's on Tuesday nights at 8. The West Coast show by Nathan Nothing Miller. That is Tuesday nights in the Pacific. And then you have my show, this show. And then, you know, you need something more in my eyes, because I can never have too many people listen to my jaw jack. But that show is on at Wednesday at 8. We have the original Kayak Fishing Radio on Thursday nights at 8. And then we have Mr. Spiker. I can never remember the man's first name.
Dennis.
But, Dennis Spiker, thank you.
Yeah.
With the West Coast Spike Show. He has a show on Friday, I believe. And it was like 8 Eastern Pacific. And I couldn't accept that show. I was still looking. but... If you know Dennis Spiker, or you've talked to him, heard about him, the man knows kayak fishing. He was one of the founders of kayak fishing, you know, before Jim, he taught Jim Sammons, folks, kind of situation. And a great guy, very knowledgeable, knows what he's talking about. And he's kind of like Chad Hoover. Now, if you remember the show, go back in the podcast and catch the double show with Chad. He's really, 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 really shy, and he doesn't like to talk a lot. And that's a joke, folks. The man will talk your ear off. So, anyway, let's get right to it. Checking out the chat rooms here. We have one guest. Welcome, guest, if you're listening. Thank you for logging in. Say hello. Let us know who you are. Past weekend. got out Sunday in the morning to the Sweet Bay British Tunnel, and took out my quote-unquote boss, Rick, for his first bay open water trip. Too far out, didn't get to the islands, but hit the first boat, small boat channel, which is always a good spot. And, you know, if anyone's ever fit the bay, they know, you know, the first any of the little boat channels will hold fish. For y'all you northeast guys, that would be a fluke in your eyes. Let's see here. It holds flounder, stripers in the wintertime, and even the summertime. What else? Yeah, we'll use these boat channels because a lot of the bay in this area is has very little structure. It has infrastructure, let's put it that way. The rest is pretty much flat bottom. Granted, the seagrasses are starting to come back, but the Bay Bridge Tunnel is the main structure in the area. Now, if you are a bass fisherman, you know that if one piece of structure is usually not enough for fish, and that the best way of doing it is to find multiple pieces of structure, i.e., if you have a fallen tree, look for that fallen tree by, rocks, by a point, a drop-off. And that's what these small boat channels are. They're a great drop-off. I think it's like 12 feet to like 20 feet, something like that. It's a really good drop-off for, holding fish. And within 45 minutes of launch, and Rick caught a beautiful 19, 20-inch flounder. Really nice fish. I was mostly looking for sheep's head, personally. Of course, flounder always. But got in there and dropped down a live gudgeon and immediately hooked up on a big fish. Not knowing exactly what it was at the time, but all I knew, it was dragging me. Kind of try to hold on as best as possible at that point. Because all I was using, folks, was a Skeet Reese Edition Wright McGill flipping and pitch rod. You can buy them at Bass Pro at your local tackle shop, and they're no more than like $90. But it's one of my favorite flipping pitch rods for bass, and a great sensitive rod for fishing for flounder. They do a really good the rod does a great job. But got out there, hooked up on this fish, and I'm working it. And this thing, the rod has been, pretty much touching the handle. I'm going, oh my God, I must have a ray, I have something. Started to pull it up, it came up, and I saw a white flash as it went back down. When I see something like that, folks, first thing that comes to my mind is cobia. I'm like, oh my God, I got a cobia hooked on. Because this thing's taken me around the kayak a couple times. So I yell for Rick, come give me a hand. Because, I have no gaff. Unfortunately, I don't have a net with me at the time. If I have this cobia, I'm going to need some backup. And, to give him the five-finger death punch if I need to. And fought this thing. It starts dragging us away from the bridge, thankfully. And start to pull it up, get near the surface. It comes up and rolls, and it's a black drum. The biggest black drum I have ever caught or had hooked up for that point. And right behind the black drum is a cobia. In your 40-pound class, just following this black drum. I was like, oh, jeez. Rick has nothing heavy enough. I've got one rod that's heavy enough, but that thing is so tangled up in my legs right about now that it's not worth anything. And Finally get up to the side of the boat, reached my hand into his big old maw and yanked him up on the kayak. 30-plus inch black drum, my personal best at the time. If Rick's listening and he calls in, he can tell you I was shaking. I was doing my giggle. And if you listen to the show, Thursday night show, I had the great opportunity of surf fishing and called in during the show and hooked up on a bluefish. You can hear my giggle. I was giggling and losing my mind. Boaters were passing by like, what the hell is this kayaker doing, man? He's lost his damn mind. I was sitting there losing it. Got pictures taken, admired him. He had a few sand fleas on him, or the blood-sucking parasites. I helped that fish out and removed them, and then spent about another 15 minutes reviving that fish until he clamped down on my finger and gave me a good kick and said goodbye. Granted, folks, your 20, 30-inch class black drum are great eating fish, but you know what? I'd like to catch that fish, next year when he's much, much bigger. To be able to do something like that was just awesome. Absolutely awesome. At the end of that, Rick went back and tried to flounder fish some more. I went after some spades. Got a couple of small little 8-inch spades. And then we called it a day. Everyone caught, me and Rick caught fish. The boaters weren't having as much luck as we were, but that's how it usually works. But all in all, a good time. Did get into a school of another school black drum on the surface. Hooked up on a much, much bigger fish than the one I had put in the boat. He did break me off because I was still using a very light rod at the time. Pitched a white 1/8-ounce bucktail with a white trailer on it, and I saw the fish when he rolled on it, and then saw him run away with my line and lure. So, not a great day on that part, but at that point, but still got on the water and caught some fish. Can't beat that. Now, folks, here's a little thing for you. If you are going out for the first time with someone who, and you're experienced in open water, and they're not, don't forget to remind them, hey, when you come back into the surf, be wary of the secondary wave that's going to come behind you and swamp your kayak. I forgot to remind Rick. That's bad on my part, and Rick, I apologize for that. And Rick did okay, got to the beach, but he went in straight. As soon as his kayak jammed itself into the sand, that secondary wave came up, went over top of him, and flipped his kayak over. Rick did the funky chicken on the on the sand, got up thinking that I didn't see him. And up until this point, I keep on telling Rick, oh, I didn't see you. Nothing to worry about. Yeah, Rick, got you. Now you're famous on the radio. Embarrassing, huh? But it was a good day, folks. Very good day. We've got a new caller here. Let's see here. Area code 626, you're on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic.
What's up?
What's going on, bud? Who's this?
Nothing much.
Who's this?
This is Mitch in Los Angeles.
Mitch in Los Angeles, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. Hey, what's the biggest fish you've caught?
The biggest fish I've caught?
Yeah.
In a kayak?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that would still have to be out in San Diego. I caught a 40-plus pound yellowtail at the La Jolla Kelpets.
I caught a 126. I've caught a 126-pound yellowtail off Dana Point.
Off of where?
Dana Point.
Dana Point? Oh, yeah. Would you do that in a kayak?
No.
No, on your boat?
Yeah.
Cool, man. Cool. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mitch, how old are you, man?
15.
15? Cool,
yeah.
Cool. You know of Dennis Spiker?
Yeah.
Well, he's got another radio show Friday nights at 5 your time. Same place.
Oh, sweet.
So definitely. How did you find out about us, man?
My friend told us about you guys.
Cool.
He said pretty cool show.
Yeah, man. It's, definitely cool that you're calling in, man. Don't get many West Coast people on the East Coast show, but welcome, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to have you on.
Mm-hmm.
So, quick question, bud. What kind of kayak do you fish out of?
I don't fish out of kayak, just fish out of a boat.
Out of a boat. Okay. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Stay on and listen to the show, bud.
All right, bye.
Cool. That was Young Buck, Mitch from L.A. We don't get many West Coast guys, and that was kind of, if you haven't noticed, folks, I'm kind of flabbergasted, didn't know exactly what to do. but thanks for calling in, Mitch. It was great to have you on the show. That was kind of out of left field, huh? There, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't get very many left coasters, but it's good.
Oh.
We're spreading out. Now we have
Yeah.
two West Coast shows.
I know. And, we don't get enough, or the West Coast doesn't get as much publicity, let's say, as, the East Coast and Florida and the Gulf does. And it's good to see that we've got two shows, specifically for the West Coast. And folks, if you want to classify it, we've got Isaac the Nothing Miller show. He would be more of your Northwestern guy. Spiker would be your California guy. Excuse me if you heard that. But definitely that was out of nowhere. Give me a second here. All right, back to it. But we have we just had a Bad Bast in, hosted the Tuesday night show. And we've got also guest 663 and Ferrari Radio. Welcome, guys. Back to my story. Rick's embarrassing wipeout. Then I got home and started to play around with my freshwater gear. And said, I got to get out to the lake. Packed up my gear, turned around, went out. Local lake, actually on Little Creek Naval Base here in Virginia Beach. And very shallow lake. I really enjoy fishing this lake. Trying to do six things at once. I really like fishing this lake. It's pretty shallow. I think the deepest spot's maybe 8 foot, 10 foot. Lot of intermittent cover, a lot of different changes in bottom with this lake, which makes it a lot of fun. And, it's a great practice lake, or I consider it a practice lake. And the great thing about it is that, you've got rocks, you have concrete blocks, you have sandy flats. You've got in the summertime and in early fall, great weed patches with Rob keeps on yelling at me, quit playing with the handheld video game. Whatever, Rob. Lily pads, thank you. And your rocks and everything else. But it's a great lake for that, you know, for practicing 100 different techniques. And with it, the cooler water and everything that I was noticing on this lake, the quintessential bait that I had to throw was a crank bait of some type, lipless and or billed, and that was the call of the day for me. Absolutely tore up the bass for a good 2.5-3 hours. Really muddy water, so I knew I needed some sort of rattle, and I went straight to my go-to bait, which is a quarter ounce, I think it is, the smaller version of the sexy shad, and that was it right there. I pulled out the deep crank of the sexy shad, you know, that dives down to like 15-20 feet, anchored up off of a point that I know is a little deeper than the rest of it, and worked my bait basically from the shore until I couldn't cast, you know, if the shore was on my right hand side, making casts every 2 feet, you know, working my way left. After that, I went from left and worked my way right, and on the second come back around, I found the fish, and I found what they want, and got five bass, all over 17 inches. Biggest one was 22. I didn't have a camera with me because I wasn't planning on catching any fish, you know. And that's how it usually is, right, folks? But that was a good spot, and then just started putzing around, trying to, you know, the great thing about using a crankbait is that I can feel I have a G. Loomis cranking rod. Folks, if you don't have a great cranking rod, i.e. from G. Loomis, TFO, Shimano, makes a decent one, but the new one from TFO with Gary Loomis's help is an absolute killer. And if you can't feel the bottom when you're cranking, in a situation like I was in where you're shallow and you're really digging it into the bottom, and you can feel the bottom change from, you know, mud to pebble to, you know, boulders, and then back to mud again, you don't know what the structure is. Or you can feel where you don't feel that bill digging in anymore, and drop down in the hole. It's like, oh, hole. I might want to throw a jig or something. But that was a really, really good day. Being able to find those holes has me thinking about using that for the TKA Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association Fish for Charity, TKAA. For those out there, it's TKAA.org. Can I say TKAA one more time? TKAA. All right, cool. Definitely a good spot. We'll probably be like that during the tournament. I doubt it, but to be able to hit those bass like that in a short amount of time, you know, 3.5 hours, with very little planning. Mr. Bad Backcast wrote, I used to try to explain that to people, how to tell what kind of structure you're hitting. And the best way I can explain it is you can feel it. For instance, if I am running my crankbait, let's say, okay, you can feel, and if with a good rod, the great thing about, now let's get into tackle here, folks. You see these bass pros on TV and everything else, they're using cranking rods or a basic rod with monocarbon, okay? That's great. That's fine and dandy. But if you want to really excel at it, use braid. And I'm not talking a heavy braid either. I use, I think I've got 15 on my cranking rod with a really loose drag. Okay, not too loose. If you wanted to snap the rod tip to put out of grass or whatever, you pull drag. But enough that, you know, if you got a good hit, it'd take a little bit before you get your thumb in there to set the hook. But so, you know, a good reel and, you know, your 6-3-1 ratio, enough that you can really work it really slow and get a good, you know, wobble depending on the crankbait. Or you can speed up your retrieve and really get that sucker booking. And, you know, save the money and buy a good cranking rod. Yeah, and Mr. Bad Pack, Rob Badcast, for me, the rod can tell you everything. Folks, if you need any more instance on that, you know, look at Bob Stinsmall from Spro. I can't say if that's his correct last name or not. The man is a cranking and swim bait god. He can take a swim bait, snap the rod tip, and actually take the swim bait and make it spin 180 degrees and face off bass. Folks, you understand how difficult that is? I tried that for a good 45 minutes on Sunday. I can't get it to do it. And I've been throwing swim baits for a while. It's one of my secrets. I don't usually tell people a lot. But for him to take just a regular swim bait, snap the rod tip, and make that thing just spin around like that, it was like, oh my god, that was awesome. So I'm going to do it twice. It was cool. The, you know, good braid, good rod, and a good crankbait. I use Strike King. I've never had a reason not to use Strike King. Specifically, folks, the Sexy Shad. Come on. I mean, do I really have to say it? If I want to use a crankbait and not use a shad or bluegill color, and the Sexy Shad or Sexy Bluegill aren't in your tackle box, you're wrong. And granted, yes, sometimes they're going to bite the Fire Tiger or Craw colors. But if I wanted to fish a craw like that, I'd swim a craw with a jig. I'd have a lot more control over that spot. I could make that craw, blow it up a little bit, work the bottom, and then jig it back in, swim it back in, make it hit the bottom, and stick back up. Yes, thank you, Rob. With the, looks like Kentucky Tooth Emicon. You're a real nice guy there, Rob. But definitely, you're going to need to get some Strike King lures. I recommend the Sexy Shad and the Rattle Trap. Lipless crank style, the Sexy Shad in every cranking depth they have, and any variations of the Sexy Shad. It's a shad, bass eat shad. 99 times out of 100, a shad swims by, and it's close enough that the bass is hungry enough, he's going to eat the shad. Very good point. And if you're just looking for numbers, that's where you want to go. But, okay, back to point. How to feel bottom. Think of it like this. So when you start using a good rod and you start reeling it in, you're going to feel that bait thumping. Right? He's going to be sitting there. Dunk, 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 dunk. You can actually feel it in your hand. Okay? Best way to explain it is take your phone and put it on vibrate. Have your best friend call you. That you know, that good vibrate. Okay? That, it's just your bait naturally working, okay? Now, take that phone, wrap it up in a piece of tissue paper or a paper towel, have them call back again how it's a little muffled, but you can still feel it. That would be like fishing in mud. You're working a muddy, still bottom, how it just feels thick, if that's the best way to explain it. It doesn't have the same snap or sharpness to it. There we go. It just feels dull. Now, if you're and it, you can feel it, you know, vibrating, all of a sudden it'll just, you get one good pop and then nothing, and then brrr, it keeps on going. That's you running off of a tree limb, a rock, reflection off of anything. That's what you want. You want to keep running that bait and feeling that left, you know, time after time after time after time after time. As many times as you can. Okay? You really feel this with your bill crankbaits. Rattle traps, not so much. They tend to deflect and then snag. But, you know, that's the joy of the rattle traps. If you can get them and you can work them correctly, and that's a whole other show, just working a rattle trap correctly, you'll be surprised. Greg Crisp wrote, rattle traps are great. That's what I used to catch. Used last weekend to catch fish. Yeah. I've caught big crappie on rattle traps. We're talking half-ounce rattle trap, folks, and this crappie demolished it. It's great. You know, bass, catfish. I had a bowfin hit one. Great baits. Muddy water, I'm throwing a rattle trap. I'm throwing a big crank. So I'm trying to get that large profile for that fish to feel. And, you know, that was one of my keys, you know, for muddy water. I don't throw finesse baits in muddy water. I just can't see doing it. If I can't, how is a fish going to be able to see? You know what I mean? And that's, folks, how the best way to say I had to feel it. You know, and here's the easiest way for me to do it, folks. Go out and fish. Use a rattle trap. Take a rod specifically used for cranking and crank a lot. Find bottom that feels different or that you can see, okay, that's what rock is. Let me run that bait across rocks and see how that feels. That's what I did. So I didn't, you know, I didn't know how to throw crankbaits. I didn't start throwing crankbaits religiously until last year. And I'm stuck on them. You can't. I've always got my G-less rod, and I always start off, no matter what, a quarter ounce, sexy shad, blue back, rattle trap. That's what my start-off bait is. And I'll tell you exactly how I fish it every time when I first start off. Nothing special. Start off, I take that bait, and I launch it as far as I can across the point. And I always start off with a point when I fish these things. Okay? As soon as it hits the water, I give it a 1 second count, and I start reeling. I'm not doing anything special. I'm not snapping the rod tip yet. I'm not starting and stopping. I'm just reeling. Because eventually that bait's going to naturally hit the bottom. Or I'm going to let it, you know, stop. If I go 10 or so cranks and I haven't hit bottom yet, I stop and let it hit bottom. As soon as it hits bottom, I'm going to give it a, what I call it is a, I use 6 and 12 inch hook sets is how I call them. 6 inch hook set, which is where your hand moves 6 inches. From where it's sitting there to where you stop the hook set. And that's if you have a very tight line on your fish when you go to hook set. My 12 inch and my bill dance, as I call it, is if I have a little bit of slack in the line, jig fishing, using a or start stop, you know, motion with you know, flukes or pause baits, your jerk baits. And then my bill dance is if I see my line, something's picked it up and it's running towards me, and I try to crank down and set the hook, a little 6 inch or 12 inch isn't gonna do it. I've got to rear back as far as I can and try to get that bow of the rod and the stretch of the line, but that's a whole other thing. But I want to work that bottom. I want to see how that rattle trap's going to be affected. Folks, if you run cranks long enough and you fish them things long enough, you'll realize that temperature of the water, density of the water, changes how they feel. If I can hear the bait rattling in the water while I'm cranking it in, then I know that the fish can hear it. If I can't hear it, I'm not going to change up. But I just know maybe the water's a little muddier deep down there. You know, maybe the water's denser. The sound isn't traveling as well. Or I look at it, oop, I got a leaf on the hook. I'll take that off, try it again. But 9 times out of 10, folks, I can hear that rattle trap 30 feet away. Just going to town, okay? So I made that first cast. I'm on the bottom. I'm working across the bottom. I can feel it moving. I'm just reeling a nice, steady staccato pace. Nothing changing. If I'm reeling it, and all of a sudden, you can actually feel that bait sliding back and forth, wobbling. Okay? If I'm going, all of a sudden, I don't feel that wobble. Ladies and gentlemen, hook sets are free. Okay? If you see me out in the water, you see me setting the hook like I'm chopping wood. Doing the tomahawk chop at Florida State. That's the way I look half the time. I feel something that's not right, I'm setting the hook. If you ever have the opportunity of watching something like Iaconelli or I'm not going to say Kevin, he doesn't fish that style all that much, the finesse type. Roland Martin, he's a great finesse bass fisherman. That man, if you ever watched B film, which is just him just fishing, that man is setting the hook on almost every cast. And I had the great opportunity of talking to him at a seminar one time, and I said, I saw this film of you just setting the hook on like every cast. You know, he's setting the hook on fish, but you're just setting the hook. He's like, well, I've been fishing long enough that I know if something just doesn't feel right, I go lift it up and I'm stuck on something, and I know that there's not a log down there, there's not a rock, but there's some vegetation, and I'm lifting it up and it's just doesn't, you've got that feeling, something's just not right. He's like, I'm setting the hook. Granted, I've stuck enough turtles or catfish or sticks, to last me a lifetime. But as many times, I might miss 8 times out of 10. But for those 2 times that, there's a bass on the other end, it's been worth it. So, yeah, folks, you run that rattle trap, it starts to get mushy. Set the hook. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I'm not scared. Set the hook. You'd be pleasantly surprised. After fishing that a couple times over the same spot, steady pace, start off with a nice medium reel, switch to a high speed, switch it to a low speed. After that, that's when I start getting fancy. Make a cast out, start reeling it in a nice slow pace, keeping it off the bottom. Snap the rod tip a couple times, like you're setting the hook. That's going to rip the bait. You can actually hear it. Brr, brr, brr. And then just let it sit, lower the rod tip, keeping the line somewhat, tight as it's falling. Let it fall a little bit. Rip it a couple more times. Let it fall, and then just start reeling again. If you watch bait fish a lot of times, they'll power off and away. And then as they swim away, they'll stop, and they'll look for a second. Is that thing still following me? Am I good? And that couple little snaps or one snap or two or three snaps, quick with the rattle trap, as soon as you stop it and let it just kind of sit there and fall, hold on. Because if that bass sees that motion going away, that little flash, he's going to be right behind that thing. That's a great technique. That one and just yo-yoing it. Cast out, let it fall, hit bottom. Then all you do, folks, is to take the rod tip, literally put the rod tip on the bow of your kayak, the very tip. Okay? Take that rod, or if you're holding your arm out, bring it up to where you're looking at your hand at eye level or just above eye level. Straight up. Bring it down. As you're bringing it down, reel in the slack. Do the same thing again. Just like you're doing little panfish hook sets. And it'll absolutely be worth it for you. Sorry, folks, I've been away from the computer. Just got back. Let's see here. Scuba Stan, what's up? Thanks for coming on in, man. Mr. Bad Badcast, what's going on? Let's see here. Scuba Stan writes, the harbor, Charleston Harbor, is coming alive. Mullet run is just beginning. Reds, trout, flounder everywhere. The jacks will be chasing mullet soon. Awesome. Jacks are a lot of fun. Let's see here. We're scrolling up. We got the Boondoggle coming up in October. That'll be fun. All right. So, let's see here. What was I at? Someone remind me.
I think you were finishing up on crankbaits there.
Thank you. Yeah. Can't remember. Yeah. That's how you run a rattle trap. Crankbait. If you don't snap your rod tip and change the staccato pace, if you're not running into the cover, you're wrong. Trust me, folks. Take that bait. Work the rod tip like you're working a rod tip. That is key. Work the rod. That's all I'm going to say about that before I get in trouble. Scuba Stan, have a great night. He came in and shot off. But that's how you run a good crank. Now, you know, watch those Bass Pro guys, especially I almost said Kayak Kevin. Kevin's not a bass fisherman. He caught his first bass in July. But watch Kevin Van Dam. When he works a crankbait and a spinnerbait, he's talking to the camera, and he's sitting there, he's reeling, and all of a sudden you see him, like, snap the rod or just speed up his retrieve. What he's doing is he's changing that pace. There's a great video of window painting. If you don't know what that is, go to kayakbassfishing.com. You're going to see right on the main page that skinny guy, Chad Hoover, sitting there, and he's going to talk about some stuff. Watch those videos. Then when it gets to one about window painting, and when I first saw this video, and Bill, I believe his name, Bill or Bob, started explaining it, I went, ding, that's exactly what I, you know, an explanation that I've been looking for why you need to snap your rod and work your rod and you know, with baits like a rattle trap, with a crankbait, with a spinnerbait. And it just, it hit me, and I was like, you know, you know, kind of situation. You know, these were going off. I had this going. You know, I was like, yay. And then I was going,
you can't touch this. You can't touch this.
I don't get to do that very often, folks, so bear with me. You know, it was just like, oh, why didn't I think of that before? Great analogy and a great way to explain it. So, but yeah. Greg, do you have any, you know, knowledge you want to spread about crankbait or rattle trap fishing? Damn, my mouth is all of a sudden.
Oh, the only thing I can say is that it takes some practice.
Yeah,
it's not. There's some things I think you can do to sort of speed up that learning curve. One thing that I did that sort of gave me some confidence in crankbaits and that type was when they started actually producing the suspending crankbaits.
Oh yeah,
makes it easier for a beginner to fish. You know, if you pause, it'll just sit there, which is natural. You get a lot of strikes right there, especially
yeah.
in colder waters and stuff. And, you know, if you set the hook and miss, you know, a lot of times you give it a second before you start reeling it in and
right.
working it again, and you'll get a strike. So, you know, when a couple years ago when I found the X-Wraps and stuff like that that were suspending, that started building my my confidence in them a little bit more, where before I used, you know, was pretty much entirely jigs and soft plastics.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
a great starter for everyone, and it catches fish. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. And then, last year, I think is when I really started fishing rattle traps seriously and giving them really the effort they deserve. Before I tried them, I never had much luck, so I quickly went to, something I was familiar with. And
right.
I think a lot of that was, a little bit, you can get decent rods now for, $50. There is a difference when you do go up into the higher rods, even if they're not $300, but, in the $100 range, there's a big jump in quality. And I found that I was, even with my jigs, I was able to downsize to smaller weights and still be able to feel, when I was on the bottom and contacting structure like that. And, at the same time, when I use those rods, for crankbaits, you could feel the bait swimming more. Where before, you just felt a little pull on the line. Now, like you were talking about, you can feel the vibration. You can feel that crankbait move back and forth, or, feel the rattle, inside a rattle trap, come straight up the line and, detect those little hits. And, success, breeds confidence. And when you're confident that you're throwing the right bait and you're working it right, you tend to catch more fish.
Yep.
And it just takes time out on the water.
Yep. Folks, when I bass fish, not necessarily in the ocean, when I'm saltwater fishing, but specifically when I'm largemouth bass fishing, and it gets really annoying personally with people that are around me, I got to stop and work my jaw and my legs out, because every cast I make, I think, here it comes. Here comes, another 10-pounder. Here it is. And I clench my jaw, and I lock up my body, and I tire myself out a lot of times. Or my jaw would just be killing me. I start getting a headache. And I'm like, man, I'm getting a headache from? Oh, that's right. I'm clenching my jaw. because I know any second he's going to hit it, and I'm going to tear his grip out, And, little tip, if you ever have that situation, folks, where you're starting to tense up like that, go ahead, take a second, breathe. I carry gum. I chew a piece of gum. It keeps me, that going. But another thing, start looking at your next cast. And once I started doing that, I started relaxing more. And I found that when you start to tense up, and especially when you're throwing a rattle trap, or a power bait per se, is you kind of reel faster than you would want to. If the fish only want a really slow retrieve, and you're tense, and you're like, okay, every time now he's going to hit it, take a second and look at your hand that you're reeling with. If you notice, man, that thing is just going a mile a minute, take a second, flap your arms out, and, start reeling in slow again. Being able to relax on the water, it's something that it's the biggest thing for me. I'm almost as bad as Chad is. Chad, once he gets on the water, he puts up the blinders, and I'm saying Chad Hoover, owner and of KayakBassFishing.com. He puts up blinders, and what he's he's focused on the line, but he's also got this peripheral, and his senses are through the roof. He can see everything. He sees that swirl, 100 yards away.
You know, and you know Chad sees something, because all of a sudden he'll be cast in one direction. All of a sudden he'll just kind of start changing direction with this cast and paddle. He starts heading in a direction. You might want to follow the man, because most likely he saw something that you didn't. Because he's been fishing and a lot more than I have. And he sees something, he's going to try something. And a lot of times when this is beginner tip, folks, probably number 17, you see someone experience, all of a sudden change direction, start heading in that direction, you might want to follow them. But the biggest thing is don't even fish sometimes. I don't know how many times I've been fishing with Chad where I put the rods down and I'll stay, 30, 40 feet away from Chad in an area that I know he's not going to probably cast in, and just watch him. Watch how he maneuvers the kayak, how he casts, especially in bass fishing, where it's mostly technique with a little bit of luck and knowledge. And see him cast and, try to pick apart a spot, or him just sit there and look, and, he's got a second, he doesn't looks like he's busy, or he's not concentrating on something. Ask him, hey, what are you doing, man? 9 times out of 10, he might just say, oh, I'm just, I just farted and just, enjoying the ambiance. But, take that second and, watch and ask questions. I can't say that, preach that enough. Ask questions with people like a Chad Hoover, a Dennis Spiker, a Chuck, Redfish Chuck, D. Kaminsky. Oh, my God. You want to talk about someone who can catch speckled trout? That woman is a speckled trout killer, one of the best fishermen. Now, I didn't say fisherwoman. I'm not politically correct. I'm talking fishermen I have ever met. To say I didn't ask enough questions when I met her down in Mosquito Lagoon and I kick myself in the butt every day for it is an understatement. I really wish I would have, picked at her a little bit more than what I did. But ask questions with the people that are specific to an area and or species. You will learn something every time. But off that high horse. Folks, we're just about to hit our 1 hour mark, and that usually means either commercial break if we have a guest, usually a plug of some type, but to let everyone know, Keen Footwear. This is my newest plug. I have the great joy of wearing and being part of their pro staff. Greg, did you get a hold of their pro staff team yet?
Yeah, I've looked into it. They got some really cool stuff on there.
Definitely going to be
picking some stuff up.
I just got their, it's the Chicago boot. I'm an iron worker by trade, folks. I spend my day on my feet all the time. And just got the boots in yesterday, put them on. Folks, this is the first day I've came home and not wanted to tear my boots off my feet. I have no foot or back pain anymore. Absolutely a great product. And I've wore a lot of boots. Between the Marine Corps and working as an iron worker, I've worn a lot of hunting boots. I've wore a lot of boots. And for me to go, these are the best pair of boots I have ever worn is by far one of the folks. If you don't know Keen Footwear, get out and check them out. They have a great pair of paddling sandals and paddling footwear. Depending if you're in the cold, north, fishing in rivers or fishing down in Mosquito Lagoon where the water temp's like 170 degrees. And you can cook your fish in the, in the shallows. But definitely check out Keen Footwear. I wear them and you should too. And, that's my promotion of the week brought to you by Keen Footwear. We got to start doing that more, man. Getting more sponsors in for Kayak Fishing Radio.
Definitely.
So, if you have a product and or guide company, and you want us, advertised on Kayak Fishing Radio, give us an email. We will be more than willing to support you if you help support us. You know, that is that life. You know, gotta you know, for something, gotta give something. But all right, I guess we'll call it for this week. So Greg, you going fishing this weekend, man?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get out on Saturday. The tournament that was postponed for the weekend that Irene showed up here is rescheduled for today and or this weekend. And the you know, there may be another hurricane offshore, so we'll see how that does. If the wind, if it's far enough offshore, we're protected from the swells where we're going to be. But if the wind picks up, that could be a problem, because I was hoping to take my 10-year-old out and try to get him on his first striper.
There you go.
You know, if that fails, we'll be out chasing largemouth. Looks like it's going to be a nice weekend. So, you know, we can hit ponds that'll be protected and not have issues, but really would like to get them out in the water.
Definitely.
Getting kids out
is, you know, folks, if you, you know, take that kid next door, take the kid down the street, become a brother, big brother, big sister, take kids fishing. Because if they're fishing, guess what they're not doing? Break it into your car. So, definitely.
Yep.
Get kids into fishing, get them addicted to it, because it's a good addiction to have. It's better than, you know, the other side of an addiction, you know, drugs and, you know, video games. Video games are evil. Damn that Call of Duty. But, but yeah, folks, definitely take a kid fishing, get out fishing this weekend. I'm hoping to get out maybe for a little while this weekend. I've got a lot of honeydews I got to take care of before the TKA tournament. So this way I can participate and not have to worry about anything. So definitely get out this weekend, folks. Looks like the rain should end for the Mid-Atlantic area and the Northeast by Friday, hopefully. So get out, have some fun, catch some fish. And hopefully we catch you back next week. We got to do our plugs, or I got to do my plugs. And we're going to start off with YakAngler.com. Folks, if you're not a member of Yak Angler, you're wrong. Become a member of Yak Angler. It's a great site. You can definitely learn a lot. I've learned a lot. We've got some great folks on there. Pretty much every host of Kayak Fishing Radio is a member of YakAngler.com. So definitely check that out. Check out KayakBassFishing.com. Folks, if you need anything in bass or kayak fishing related, Kayak Bass Fishing is a great site. They have the Challenge Series, a great chance to, you know, it gives you a reason to go out fishing to win stuff. I'm not talking like, you know, ooh, I just want a bag of lures. No, you can win a kayak, okay? You know, with the Challenge Series, so definitely check that out. And plus Chad Hoover, if you ask a question, his name on there is not right, because the man is just not right. If they do one of their paddles, folks, and Chad's showing up for it, definitely make sure you eat before he starts talking when you go for the dinner afterwards, because I can tell you right now, if you're in mid-chew and he says something funny, like he always does, guess where that food's going to go? On the person in front of you. Every time. There's a story behind that, and that's not for this show, because then my show would be marked explicit. But definitely check out KayakBassFishing.com. Great site. Keen Footwear, the newest member of my landing crew fishing team. Great people. They're based in America. It's a great set of boots. I'm actually looking at the set right now. Let's see here. Made in China, maybe not in the USA, but they're based out of the USA, and that counts. Absolutely great set of footwear, paddle, and they just do feet. They don't do anything else but feet. Socks that I've never seen before that I wore for the first time today, and I'm like, oh my God. It's like, you know, good sheets, you know, one of those good flannel sheets in the wintertime where you put them on, you're like, ooh, warm sheets. Or even better, here's a better analogy for you. You know when you pull a fresh pair of underwear out of the dryer and it's cold out, and you put them on while they're still warm, how it's like, ooh, that's nice and warm and comfy. That's what these shoes are, okay? Sandals, the boots, the running shoes, any of it. It's like putting on nice, warm underwear. I can probably see people, I'll bet you my mother's listening right now going, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. But that's what it's like. So definitely check out Keen Footwear at keenfootwear.com. Irish Water Dogs, brave the waves where giants tremble. Definitely check out Irish Water Dogs, a great group of people there, American-made. They're based out of Jacksonville, Florida. A great apparel company. They do your shirts and your pants and everything else. Definitely worth it. Of course, at the end of the show, we've always got that last-minute caller. So let's see who this is. Area code 304, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Kayla.
Hey, Kayla.
Hi.
A West Virginia girl. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. A little late, but better late than never, right?
Yeah, I just thought I'd call and say hi. Just seeing you, I was backing you up.
Cool. So you go fishing this weekend, mm-hmm. Kayla?
Well, yeah.
Do tell.
About my last trip or this weekend's trip?
Your last trip. You start there and work our way to the future.
Okay. Last weekend, I went to the Greenbrier Mountains to do a float trip, and I caught my first white bass on the fly rod.
Awesome.
And, yeah, that was pretty exciting. A couple of trout, and it started thunderstorming my last night there, sleeping in the hammock by myself with lightning going
on
all around me. Yeah, it was pretty awesome, though.
Things weekend, were electric for you.
Yeah, it was electrifying.
Hang on.
Nice. Yeah. And this weekend, I think I might go back, actually, or I might go in search of some muskie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
that's all I got.
For right now, right?
Yeah.
So have you been listening and just decided to call in now, or?
I've been listening on and off.
Okay.
Yeah. My phone sucks. Kind of just does what it wants.
I can see that. Do you have anything to add about crankbait or rattle trap bait fishing? Because I know you do a lot of saltwater fishing, but you know, in intermittent freshwater. So, you know, any thoughts on that? It was a joke.
Okay. I was thinking, do you even know who I am?
Folks, if you don't know, Kayla's from West Virginia. So that means she doesn't get a lot of saltwater experience. That was the joke.
There you go.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people are going, really? Yeah. Comedian. So, yeah, any thoughts on rattle trap or crankbait fishing?
Actually, I was fishing with crankbait all weekend. I think it's like a clicker crankbait from Rapala. And
right.
It has these little things on the side that, like, make extra noise, and it drives the bass crazy. Like, you just piss them off enough to where they want to just attack it, and I love it. yeah, and I've caught half of my muskie on a crankbait. I love them. Like, it's kind of me knowing that I'm, like, making a lot of noise, just irritating the hell out of the fish. And then they just attack it thinking they're some big dog, and then I pull them up out of their environment. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it like that.
No, you should. That's what you're doing. And I like to sit, you know, if I'm not catching fish, I like to try to find the freaky fish, you know, one of the goth fishes, you know, the ones that want a lot of piercing in his face. Because I know I've got a couple of hooks that looks great in his top lip. That's another
joke. Yeah, absolutely.
and I have to do this because I keep getting someone in the chat room who keeps on putting these faces on there.
What?
Thank you,
that?
Rob. That was Ranger Rick or Ranger Dave or whatever Rob calls him. That was the garble. And it really finished it out because I know Rob's just dying for him because he is going to be heading to Charleston, South Carolina boondoggle in October. For more, you can check out yakdingler.com about more about the Charleston boondoggle. Sorry. Had to do it. Rob's been begging all night. Do the banjos.
Thanks, Rob.
Kaylee, you don't need to listen to the radio show for that. You just go outside your front door, huh?
Absolutely. Shit, I got one in my bedroom.
Where's my family show?
I'm kidding.
I'm really going to get an X rating.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was just kidding. Like, I mean, there could just be a banjo. And that's what I mean. I've got a banjo, like, just sitting up against the wall in my bedroom. Jeez.
All right, folks. If for whatever reason Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic is not on next week, you can blame Kayla. I'm kidding.
Oh, don't say that.
You know we love you, Kayla.
I'm sorry.
No, you're just fine. I'm just picking on you.
I won't
call
next week.
Oh, please call. Love talking to you.
Why don't
want to
get your show, huh?
I mean, nothing. The show's not going anywhere. Don't worry about that. You know, Greg and myself, we can only talk for so much. But you know, it's nice to have someone else, you know, chime in, Rob. Yeah, here and there.
Rob.
But yeah, it's always
yeah,
Rob's
well,
fault.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Pick on Rob. So
I agree.
Greg, you're on Kayak Wars more than I am. Has Rob finally put any points on the board yet, or was he still, you know, the goose egg?
I was just there. There's one goose egg on Team Kayak Fishing Radio, so wonder who that might be.
Next time I see Rob, he's going to come out of middle of nowhere, just pull some ninja stuff on me. You know, I'm going to sit there and be like, wait a second.
Nice.
I have Yak Sushi in front of me. It's not him. All of a sudden, he's going to come on out and
and next thing and do one of these right in my culo. That would not be cool. Sorry, Rob. Love you, man. And I'm not joking about that, folks. Rob, Mr. Bad Backcast, one of the a great fishermen. He just cannot get any luck with kayak wars. And some of the fish that are down there in Florida for him to hit, there's definitely some difficult fish. And every time I hear him go out, I always keep my fingers crossed, hoping that he'll get, you know, one of those fish to put up there so I can quit making fun of him. And when he does catch one, he will wear a pink boa and Crocs, in matching colored Crocs. So, fingers crossed we can see that. As long as he wears the leopard skin thong, it'll all be good. What's that?
Is that true?
What?
Mr. Bad Backcast should dress drag when he catches a fish?
When he catches a fish to go on kayak wars, yes, he will go and drag.
Rob, have I ever told you that I like photography?
This could be great. So, before I have Chip calling me going, what are you doing, man? Well, we're going to call it a night. Kayla, it was an absolute honor to have you on. Calling anytime.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yep. Make sure you get a hold of me if you're coming out to Virginia Beach or that area. You know that the striper season starts.
I will be there soon. Absolutely.
The striper season starts in October.
I will be there.
So if you know, we usually get the schoolies this time of year, the first probably till November, and then that's when we start going out to the big mamas, your 50-plus pounders over in Kipta Beach.
Oh, yeah.
So,
makes my heart, like, skip a beat. I am looking forward to it.
Good. All right. Where did I leave off? IrishWaterDogs.com. YakDaddy.net. Home of the slider. Check out the slider, folks. Buy one. Info code 0854 to receive 10% off. AbadBackcast.com. Mr. Rob DeVore's blog. Absolute one of the best blogs out there, in my opinion. Rob's a great writer. I do pick on him a lot because I'm jealous of his writing skills and his ability to write. Rob, commend you on that, man. I really wish I had the time to write as much as you do and start a blog on that. Now, the question of the day, am I going to Chucktown? I am trying. Right now, it's up to the Navy. If I'll have a babysitter to watch the kids. Just looking right now like I will not be able to make it. Wow, really?
Sorry, I was hoping you knew that.
Fred Harper said I'm not going to be able to make it. You drop
the
glass and break it.
Seriously,
I didn't know it was affecting
ridiculous.
People like that.
That's no exception.
We'll see what happens, folks, with that. I hope you know, Kayla, that the sound of you dropping that is now going to be a new sound effect for Kayak Fishing Radio. Hope you just know that. Just know.
It should be.
But yeah,
that's what you should play when you bring to the call and say, oh, there's 304.
I was thinking
there
more.
Is.
Hang on.
Let's see here. Where's Kayla's? I know I got a sound effect for you. I was listening to it. I was like, oh, that goes great with Kayla. Hang on. It's here. Oh, there it is. Here you go, Kayla. Just for you. Your new intro.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
So now when I see 304,
I've got like a little dance to make up. Good.
All you know is the parachute pants and the you know,
absolutely,
the bad haircut.
Right? And the little hat, like, that's too small for my head with a different color.
with a tie-dye. Tie-dye mm-hmm. with lightning bolts running through it, yeah. Oh, God.
And then doing, like, the running man.
Oh, can't believe we used to wear that. God, what were we thinking, Greg?
I really don't know.
In fluorescent colors. Ugh. But anyway, trip down memory lane. Worst part is I didn't stop wearing that stuff till about 2 years ago. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Well, it's coming back in now. You can just get it back out of the closet.
Yeah. I know. I saw this kid the other day, and I know I keep on trying to end the show and get sidetracked, but folks, if I didn't know any better, you know, the kid had Jerry Curl going on. I was like, Rick James, you know? I was like, wow. Worst part, he was white. Oh, now I'm really going to be explicit. Oh, boy. I got to get off. All right, folks. With that. I love
it's
to stay
family
on.
Family show.
I know.
Hopefully they aren't listening today.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I'm sorry, Chip. I know he's going to get emails. Do you know what your hosts are doing? Lionel Rich. Sorry. Oh, God. Okay, folks, if I missed one of my sponsors or supporters, I do apologize. Oh, boy. With that, Kayla, absolute pleasure. Great having you on. Calling anytime. Greg, you know it, man. You're like the co-host of Kayak Fishing Mid-Atlantic. Mr. Bad Badcast, you should have called in. But, Rob Bad Badcast just put in there, poor Chip's mustache is catching on fire. I know.
Aww.
I know.
He's all right.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's tough. He's a Marine officer. He'll be good. But anyway, with that, folks, have a great night. Safe weekend. Wear your PFD, take a kid fishing, wear your PFD, and tight lines, everybody. Have a great night.
Peace.